Isn't that awesome? I know some of you right now are thinking that that's exactly how all of your living room, or I'm sorry, all your waiting room experiences have been, right? That's a clear depiction of your waiting room. Let me ask you just a quick question to get us all on the same page this morning. How many of you right now are super stoked, pumped, and just can't wait to get into your next waiting room experience? Let me see your hands. No one? Okay, good. Well, I'm a little relieved by that because I was going to share with you, those of you that would have possibly raised your hands, and I'm glad you didn't, that if you raise your hand to that question, in the most pastoral kind way I could say it, is that we would need to have a counseling session immediately after the service today, right? Because no one wants to hang out in a waiting room unless you just have a lot of time on your hands that you don't know what to do with, or there's something else you need to work through. So glad that none of you are here and wanting to do that. You know, when I think about waiting rooms, I actually have quite a bit of experience with waiting rooms. And the reason why is because for me and my wife, we're a family of six currently and growing. Our seventh addition to the family, if you will be here in June. But we have four children. And with four children, you find yourself in a lot of waiting rooms for checkups, for going in for snotty noses, as well as earaches and all those types of things. You find yourself in the waiting rooms with kids quite often. But as I was thinking about some of the waiting room experiences I've had lately, there's this one that came to mind that happened probably just a few weeks ago. And the waiting room experience I had then was at the tire shop, okay? Now, you know, where you go and get your tires rotated, balanced, aligned, oil changed, all that stuff. And I'm going to describe it to you just a little bit. I went to this tire shop, and I'm not going to name them because I'm going to take some shots at them out here publicly, and it's on video too. But I went to this tire shop, and I found my parking space. And when I pulled in my parking space, I got out of my car or the van, and I walked to the glass doors. And when I grabbed the glass doors and I opened them, immediately I was just hit by this stench. And this is possibly a stench that you're familiar with. It is a stench of a mixture of rubber and some type of chemical. I'm assuming it's oil or something like that. And so immediately when you walk in the tire shop, you know you're in the tire shop. And so I opened the door. The stench hit me. I walked through the door. And after I began talking to the guy that is the that worked with me on my car, and he checked my tires, took my key and the whole thing, I was then introduced to the waiting room. And the waiting room for this tire shop is out in the middle of this big room. And the way they have it set up is it's over in a corner, and they have chairs sectioning off like a rectangular waiting room. And these chairs are black, and they're all connected. And in the farthest corner of the waiting room, which is where these chairs are positioned facing, you find a very, very small, probably the smallest tube TV ever made in history, right? Stuck in that corner, on cartoons, for that matter. And it was a terrible picture. You could barely see it. And in all these chairs, I saw all these adults doing this. Just sitting there looking at it, right? Just, I mean, absolutely just as if they were just saying, oh my gosh, this is, what are we doing here? And so I saw that. And not only did I see that, but I looked over to the end of this waiting room, this carved out waiting room, and I saw this little brown table. And on this little brown table was this coffee maker. And the coffee in the coffee maker was the darkest, thickest looking coffee. Now, guys, I like coffee, okay? But this was, it looked like oil in this coffee maker that was sitting there. And I dare not drink it, right? Because I wanted to live another day. But that coffee was there waiting for whoever wanted to drink stale, probably nasty coffee. The other thing, and this one right here, I must say, just kind of makes me emotional, is that in that waiting room, this particular waiting room, on the counter was this Real Deal Holyfield popcorn maker. Now, the reason why I say that is because this was not a microwave where you pop popcorn. This was the real deal, which I love popcorn, especially that type of popcorn. And just a side note, I always tell Melissa I'm going to go buy one for our house. She won't let me do it. But there was this coffee maker to which I actually got a little excited about it. And so I walked over to it and looked at it. And the popcorn maker looked like it hadn't been cleaned in about 15 years, right? And so in this experience, the most recent waiting room experience I've had, it was one of those things where I said, man, this environment is just not something I really like. You know, in waiting rooms, not only do we have the environments, and you could probably think through some of the environments you've sat in waiting rooms, whether it be tire shops or whether it be in a doctor's office, dentist office, or whatever. But you can also think about the experiences you've had in these waiting rooms, can't you? You know, one of the experiences that comes to mind for me was years ago, and it's funny that I remember this, but years ago, I had to go to a local doctor for just some minor thing. And so I scheduled my appointment and I went to the doctor's office and I walked through the door. At the same time, this guy walked through the door carrying a sick kid. And we walked in, we went to the counter together, we signed the information and had to get our insurance information, fill it out and turned it in. And while we were there, what I noticed was is that there were just a lot of sick people in the waiting room. And as we sat there, we noticed that those 5 minutes quickly turned into 30, and those 30 went to an hour, and that hour literally went to an hour and a half. And as I was sitting there, of course, I was not sick, so I was okay. I just sat there reading my book, but noticing that everyone in the room was just getting antsy, especially the guy that carried in the sick, what appeared to be a three-year-old. And I saw him. He was a very nice-looking guy, professional, clean-cut, seemed to be a nice dude. He kept sitting in his chair, and you kept seeing him just getting really, really frustrated. And then finally, I remember watching him and just seeing his body language, seeing the look on his face. It was as if he hit his breaking point. And the next thing I knew, he just got up abruptly, grabbed his kid, marched up, stomping to the desk, and he proceeded from there to just go off on the lady at the desk, the poor lady at the desk. And he went off about everything. And every one of us in the waiting room were just sitting there watching him and looking at each other like, oh my gosh, this guy has lost it, right? And you know, as I have seen that happen, and I'm sure you have stories that you've seen and experiences you've seen in the waiting room, what I've just come to realize is that I don't care who you are. And I don't really care what you're there for in the waiting room. The bottom line is when you find yourself in the waiting room, your ultimate goal is to get out of the waiting room. Isn't that right? And this guy wanted more than anything to just get out of the waiting room. Now the reason why we want to get out of the waiting rooms that we find ourselves in is because you're probably clipping along in life, or someone you care for in your family or friends are clipping along in life. And then there is this incident or this thing that happens in your life, whether it be a toothache, whether it be an ear infection, whether it be, as I've heard over the weekend, the flu or other types of things that hit you. And when these things hit you as you're just clipping along in life and you find yourself really, really ill or hurting or in great need, you end up having to go to the waiting room to seek a professional, right, in order to help you get better. That in essence, your life in this moment goes on pause. You're stuck in the waiting room. And the ultimate thing you want is you want to see that professional, that doctor, the guy can change your brakes or your tires or whatever it may be, whatever type of waiting experience you have, you ultimately want to see them, get them to fix and address your problem so that you can go back to living life. Isn't that the way it works? And so when we find ourselves in waiting rooms, we ultimately are irritated. We're frustrated. And we want to move on. And what I've noticed, and I noticed this a few months back in my own experience, was that when I had a massive toothache, which later required a root canal and a crown, is that whatever those pains and problems are that you're battling, that sends you to the waiting room, sends you to the doctor, sends you to whoever that you need to go to, whenever those issues are in your life, those are really, really big issues usually. They're issues that tend to taint, if you will, or cloud everything else going on in your life. That toothache that I had, it impacted everything in my day, every day, until I finally couldn't stand it anymore and I had to go to the dentist. You know, in a very, very real sense, in many of our lives, in all of our lives really, we find ourselves in waiting rooms with God, don't we? That we are living our lives, we're just clipping along in life. And sometimes out of the blue, and sometimes just over time, things begin to build in our lives that end up becoming a pain or a need that hits us or hits someone we love. And it's in the middle of these pains, it's in the middle of these needs that we find ourselves oftentimes, maybe in the beginning, trying to handle it on our own. Maybe in the beginning, trying to, if you will, self-medicate or treat it or respond to it the way we think we should. But eventually, as these needs continue to persist and as these problems continue to linger and hang around in our lives, we find ourselves going to God. And we find ourselves going to God about situations that to us are that are huge. For some of us, we found ourselves in waiting rooms with God in our past. Probably some of you right now are in waiting rooms right now with God yourselves, currently. And some of the waiting rooms we tend to find ourselves with God, just sitting there talking to God about, are situations in relationships. For some, it's looking for someone to marry And it's this really true need that's in your heart that you find yourself battling through, where you constantly go to God and you're praying, God, lead me to this person, bring this person into my life. For others of us, it may be marital problems that you find yourself in the waiting room with God over, where things are going sideways. You feel disconnected. Your relationship's not like what it used to be or what you had always dreamed and hoped that it would be. And you find yourself before God in hurt and pain, praying to God, asking God to intervene. For some of us, sometimes it's a health issue that we were diagnosed with something. We've been to every medical professional we know to go to. And here we are waiting and hurting and suffering and going through some painful issues with our health. Sometimes it's when you lose a job, where you can't find a job. And those days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months possibly even turn into years. Throughout our lives, isn't this true? We find ourselves going to God with these needs, these pains, these hurts that are massive in our lives. And we cry out to God. And we wait. And guys, I don't know where you're at today, and I don't know what you've been through. But waiting rooms are things that all of us face in our lives. And if you haven't faced one yet, you will. To where you go to God with these needs, and you leave them with Him, and you pray to Him, and it seems like you're just waiting. You know, it's in these times what I've found that whether it was issues I was battling physically, whether it was job situations, whether it was health situations for myself or health situations for family or friends, whatever it may have been, that I found myself at times after going to God and sitting in His waiting room, I found myself thinking these things, and maybe you have too. Is God, why? Why are you allowing this to go on? That according to what I understand, according to what I believe, you're all powerful. You can fix this. God, how long? How long are you going to continue to let this go on in my life? God, are you trying to teach me something? God, what am I to do? In the midst of the waiting room experiences, when there is just this pain, this need, this hurt, these questions, these frustrations, we find ourselves asking those questions of God, don't we? And what we start wondering over time is, will God ever address this issue? Will God ever intervene with what I've brought to Him? And guys, this morning, what I wanted to share with you as we start this series on the waiting room is that it's in the middle of the waiting rooms with God that I have found, and I believe, is where we become fatigued spiritually. That's in the midst of waiting, it's in the midst of suffering, it's in the midst of pain and questions and cloudiness and why God and where are you God and how much longer God, that we find ourselves at a point where our hope starts waning and to where we become very, very weak and fragile and vulnerable. And this morning what I wanted to share with you is that as you have been through your waiting room experiences, as you are possibly going through them, and as you do go through them in the future, because we all will, there is this one thing that you need to know when you're experiencing the waiting rooms with God. There is this one thing that as you find yourself vulnerable, hurting, frustrated, concerned, not knowing what to do, that you must know, that you must cling to, that's in Scripture. And this morning, thankfully, in the heart of Scripture, literally, in the middle, almost in the middle of the Scripture, you find some words that were written years ago by the wisest man who's ever lived, that I believe speaks directly into our waiting room experiences in life. And it's in the middle of when you're hurting, in the middle of when you're waiting, in the middle of not knowing what to do, that God says these words to you and to me. And they're found in the verses found in Proverbs chapter 3. And these are verses you've probably memorized, heard for years and years and years. But these words, I believe, ring loud and clear into these situations of waiting. God says this, trust in me with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. You know, as I said a minute ago, when you find yourselves usually in the waiting room with God, you have probably exhausted your own efforts by this point. Most of the time when problems occur in your life, whether it be health-related, whether it be relationships, whether it be your jobs, finances, whatever it may be, usually whenever you find yourself in the waiting room with God, you have likely already taken the steps you knew to take or you thought you knew to take to try to remedy the situation. But once you're in the waiting room with God at this point, and as you pray to God and you cry out to God and you trust God or ask God to intervene or fix this thing, a lot of times as your hope starts waning and as you get frustrated and as you continue to question God where and how long, you ultimately get to the point to where you're at your breaking point because you are wanting out of the waiting room, right? You want God to intervene. You want God to fix your issue so you can go back to living life and go back to the marriage you had always dreamed of and hoped of or the health you've always hoped for or the job you've always dreamed of or whatever situation it is. And it's in this moment that as you wait, God wants you to be reminded of something. And here's what he wants you to be reminded of. You have a decision to make. You have a choice that you get to make a call on. And it's this. Are you going to trust in God or are you going to trust in yourself? Are you going to trust in God or are you going to lean into your own understanding? Because it's in this moment, seriously, where we find ourselves thinking, okay, well, maybe I just need to go do something else. Maybe I just need to go and get going and fix this or address this or go do these things. And what God is saying to all of us in the moments of waiting, in the moments of suffering, the moments of questions is this. You can choose one of two things. Trust in me or trust in yourself. You know, what I have found personally, and I see this more and more in every one of our lives as I just talk to people, is that in the moments of waiting, in the moments of hurt, in the moments of suffering and all those things and the questions and all those things that we really want God to address and fix, is that whenever I have tried to lean into my own understanding or to trust in my own understanding of situations, I have found that it is always too heavy for me to hold up. Haven't you? That in these moments, we always find that. But what is normal and what is logical, what seems to just flow from the moments of waiting on God and God not doing anything, is that we think we need to go and do something about it. But it's into this where God says, no, you need to trust me. You need to trust me with all of your heart. You know, one of the questions that's often asked, and I have found that I've asked this question as well, is the question is oftentimes asked, does God cause or does God allow the things that we go through in this life, the challenges, the problems, the different situations that put us in his waiting room, does God cause that or does God allow it? And honestly, I can tell you from just the understanding I have of Scripture and just my own walk with God is that I don't know sometimes. I don't know if God is just allowing certain things to happen. I don't know if God is causing certain things to happen. I don't know if it's both. I don't know sometimes. But here's what I do know. Is that in this journey in life, God's ultimate aim, God's ultimate goal for all of us that know Him as Heavenly Father is this. Is for us to learn to trust Him more all the way through life. That is God's goal. Out of His love is to draw you into trust. So in the midst of these circumstances and situations, if you're wondering, God, are you allowing this? God, are you causing this? God, why? And all these things. Here's what I do know, if nothing else. Is God wants to use the circumstances you're in to draw you into a relationship of greater trust. You see, when you lean on your own understanding, your problems, your questions, your gaps, your concerns, the things you're battling with, those things stay really, really big in your life, don't they? Kind of like the toothache does. It just is always there. And it clouds everything. But whenever you do what God says in Proverbs 3:5, where you trust in Him with all of your heart, with all of your being, and you lean into God, what you find is that in those moments, God becomes so much bigger than the challenges and the issues you're facing in life. So it's in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of the waiting rooms, that God ultimately wants for you to trust Him and for Him to become bigger in your life. What I also love is how He finishes in verse 6. He says that in some of your ways, is that what He says? No. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your past. You know what God says is that in this life, and I love how practical the scriptures are. It's so real for today. Is that he says in all of your ways, you're to acknowledge him. That as you're going through the waiting room, as you're praying, as you're crying out to God, as you're saying, God, heal this person or heal me. God, heal my marriage. God, bring this person into my life. God, provide this. God, you fill in the blank. As you're doing this, God says that in every one of your ways, in every decision you make, every thought, everything you choose to do, he says, look to me. Look to me. And he says, and then I'll make straight your paths. One of the greatest promises of God is that in the middle of our waiting, in the middle of our cloudiness, and not having all the questions answered in our lives as we go through these things, is that God says, trust me, look to me, and I will lead you. One of the greatest things that you need to know in the midst of these times of your life, and maybe some of you here today need to know this morning or be reminded of that, is that right in the midst of what you're dealing with, God's with you. God's there. And in the midst of that challenge, he's saying, trust me, acknowledge me, and I will lead you in the steps and the decisions that you're to make. And I'll make it clear as to what that is. For most of us, when we think about that, these verses, and you again, I acknowledge this, have likely heard these words many, many times throughout your life. Your pushback may be, but Jonathan, that's what I've been trying to do. And it's so hard. But Jonathan, I feel like that I've done that. And as you push back, you and it's normal, right? That pushback is that, Jonathan, I've tried to trust God, and I still feel like I'm in the middle of this wait. Jonathan, I keep trying to go to God and acknowledge him and wanting for him to make clear what my path and my decisions should be, but I still feel like everything's so cloudy, and sometimes I just feel like I'm going nowhere fast. And it's in this middle of this that I feel like what's so amazing about Scripture, again, that speaks right to this issue, is that not only does God say that as we trust him and as we acknowledge him and seek to find him, he'll make our path straight, but also what God says is this, is that it is grounded in a promise of something else. It's grounded in a verse found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. One of my favorite verses of Scripture and what the Apostle Paul recorded to these Christians that were in Rome, he had this to say about our lives. He says, and we know. He doesn't sound like he's confused, doesn't sound like, and we think, right? He says, and we know something. And think about everything Paul had been through to this point. Paul had been through a ton of stuff in his life. But he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for what? Y'all say it with me again. Come on. Good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You see, not only does God say, trust me with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me and I will make straight or I'll make clear your path. Not only does he say that, he says, here's what else you can know. Is that as I clarify your path, you can know that the path I'm taking you down and the way that I'm leading and directing you is for your good. That the sovereign God of the universe stands over all things. And he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, trust me, let me lead you to good. And there are some here that, here's what you need to know this morning. If nothing else, if you catch nothing else I say, listen to this. The one all-powerful God that created everything, that sits over everything, that sustains and holds everything together today, wants you to know something. He wants you to know that he is all-powerful, and yet he's your daddy. He is all-powerful, and yet he loves you. He is all-powerful, and he cares about what you're going through in your life. In the middle of your gaps, in the middle of your questions, in the middle of your suffering and your needs, and where are you, God, and how much longer, God, and what am I to do, God? He says, look, Don't worry. I'm your dad. Trust me. Follow me. Let me lead you. And ultimately, it's for your good. I heard this past week, you may have heard of this story as well, that I think so clearly speaks to this truth and speaks to this principle. But I heard a story about a lady who was in Poland, who was in labor for 75 days. Now talk about a waiting room. Can you imagine the dad? Sir, can you go in the waiting room for 75 days? It's going to be a little while. For 75 days, this lady was in labor. Now, let me explain. Some of you, if you have any kind of medical background, you're going, that's impossible. Well, let me explain to you what happened. And part of the story is sad. Part of it, of course, is pretty awesome. This lady was 21 weeks pregnant with 5 babies. And she went into labor. Now, if you've never had a baby, let me just share with you, that's not a good thing. Sadly, they went to the hospital. She delivered 3 babies who did not live. And the doctors went to this woman and they said, now, here's the thing. You have 2 more babies that we believe can live. But here's what it's going to require of you. For quite some time, you're going to have to lay pretty much upside down to save these babies. And let me share with you what this lady had to say. She said, I sighed with relief. There was a chance to keep the pregnancy and to give the babies a chance to be born successfully. She said it didn't bother her with the news of the wait. It didn't bother her. Because the way she saw it was that even though it required 75 days of laying upside down and going through, I'm sure, a lot of discomfort, a lot of frustration, a lot of ambiguity, a lot of questions, that she knew that at the end of it, there was hope. At the end of it, there was good. And at 32 weeks, she gave birth to 2 premature babies that lived and that had to survive through some special medical incubators and things of that nature, but the babies lived. She struggled with her balance for a little while afterwards, as you can imagine, after hanging upside down for 75 days. But at the end of it, she saw that the wait, the discomfort, the questions, that the hope she had for them, that it ended in good. Guys, right now, you may be like that lady. You may be in some ways or another in your life knowing that it's either been a long time and you feel like you're hanging upside down and all those things are just uncomfortable, frustrating, challenging. I don't know how long. But at the end of it, what God wants you to know from Romans 8:28 is that I'm right here with you and I'm working it for your good. I'm working it for your good. So here's the question. Is that as you work through these things, as you seek to trust God with all of your heart, as you seek to acknowledge God in all of your ways, as you believe and trust and know that your Heavenly Father is doing some amazing things in your life, even though right now you can't see what it is, but you believe that it's good, what are we to do in the meantime? What are we to do to seek Him with all of our heart? What are we to do to lean in, to trust God more? It's in the middle of these times that as you seek God, there are a few things you can do that I believe will make God just grow so much bigger in your life. And the circumstances that you're working through to continue to get smaller in the midst of how large and how great God is. And here's what they are. Spend time in surrendered prayer with God every day. On your face if you must. Just laying it all out before God. And experiencing the peace and experiencing the comfort and the presence of your Father in the middle of these moments. Now let me just say something about God as Father. Some of you here may have grown up with a bad dad. And so when I say Father, a loving Heavenly Father, for you from your context, you may look at that and go, man, Jonathan, I can't identify with that because of the relationship I have with my dad. the most amazing truth about Scripture is that your Father in heaven is perfect. And He loves you deep, deep, deep to the core of who He is. And you can trust Him. And your Heavenly Father says to come to me and to just come to Him with all your anxieties, fears, questions, and everything. And He says that He'll give you peace. So in the middle of these times, go to God, surrender to God, lay before God, weep before God, cry out to God, pour your heart out to God. And there is a peace that God gives you in those moments. Another thing you can do through these experiences that I've found to be fruitful is to journal. Each and every day as you work through this thing is to write out what you're working through. Write out your questions. Write out prayers to God. And then later on you can go back and see how God spoke and how God moved and what God did in the middle of your waiting room experience. And then last but definitely not least is to begin reading Scripture and soaking it up and clinging to and hanging to the words of God as He's written them in the Bible. Because it's in these times, guys, I'm telling you, that as our journey of life, God's taking us from birth to death and from when we know Him as Father through Jesus. That through the rest of our lives, what God wants you to do ultimately is He's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. And as you hit these problems, these challenges, these things that you don't know what in the world to do, it's in those moments that God uses them to say, trust me more. Trust me more. And if you believe what Romans 8 says, that it's for your good, and if you keep your hope in this big sovereign Father of yours, and you go before Him, and you lean on Him, and you acknowledge Him, what you'll find is when you come through it, that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is so much better than what it was before. That you thought God was big before you went through it, but after you came through this situation, you see how big God really is in a much greater way than you knew going into it. And so it's in this series that my prayer is that all of us would know that in this life that there's going to be questions. In this life, there's going to be why God and how long God and all these things. But what you must know when you're the most vulnerable is He loves you. He wants you to trust Him. And He is right there with you working to your good what He wants to do in your life. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You so much that God, I know through some of the waiting room experiences I've been through in my life, that as I've wrestled with You, as I've wondered how long, as I'm even in some right now, God, that as I've learned more and more to just trust You, to give it all to You, that Father, that You just show me how much You love me, and the peace that You give is truly beyond understanding. Father, I pray for everyone who's here that's battling these different waiting room experiences, God, whether it be relationship issues, job issues, health issues, kids that are living like prodigals and you just as a parent just dying, wanting for them to get their heart right. God, all these different circumstances, situations, as we're in the waiting room, God, I pray that the words of your Scripture, of You saying to us, we have a decision, God. We can trust You or trust ourselves, God, that You would remind us of that. But God, You would remind us of the promise that You are at work right in the middle of that for our good. God, I pray for people who are here today that are still from past experiences battling through why. Why did You let that happen? Why did You do this? Why didn't You do this? God, I pray for all of us that by the Holy Spirit, that You would just open our hearts to trust You again. To truly trust You again. To know You're our dad. To know that You love us. God, we know that the greatest form of suffering ever endured was that of Your own Son that You sent to endure for us. And Father, we are so grateful as we look back on that and we thank You that we can know You as Father because of what You did for us by sending Jesus. Lord, we love You. Thank You for first loving us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.